Keep your Bibles open there to Matthew chapter 9. This can be our text this morning. I've titled the message, Why Does Your Savior Eat with Sinners? Our text begins Matthew chapter 9, verse 9. As Jesus passed forth from thence, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at the receipt of custom. And he saith unto him, Follow me. And he arose and followed him. And it came to pass, as Jesus sat at meat in the house, behold, many publicans and sinners came and sat down with him and his disciples. Now, our Lord, I love how he called Matthew. The way the scripture makes it sound like the Lord just walked up to Matthew and he told Matthew, Come follow me. And then the Lord started walking. He never looked back to see what will Matthew decide to do. Matthew was going to follow the Lord, wasn't it? Now, Matthew was a publican. And to the people who lived at that time, publicans were considered to be the worst kind of sinner. You know, both the Jews and the Romans despised publicans. They both thought publicans were the worst kind of sinners because they were so greedy that they were willing to collect taxes for the enemy and then overcharge and cheat their countrymen while they were doing it. You know, they're just despised. They're both a traitor and a cheat. And that's pretty despicable, isn't it? To be a traitor and a cheat. What a sinner. But that's exactly who the Lord called to follow him. I wish we'd ever learned this. The Lord saves sinners. Sinners. Not good folk. Sinners. The Lord calls sinners to follow him. Genuine, real life sinners. And as soon as the Lord called Matthew to follow him, Matthew left his ledgers, he left his money, and he got up and he followed Christ. Now that's a picture of the irresistible call of God the Holy Spirit. And I'm glad it's so, aren't you? Aren't you glad when the Holy Spirit calls you can't hang on the pew and refuse to come? You know, God the Father, before time began, elected a people to save. The Son became flesh. Came in time, and he redeemed those people with his precious blood. And in time, God the Holy Spirit calls those people. He calls them to come to Christ. He gives them faith in Christ, so they can't do anything but trust Christ. They can't do anything but follow Christ. When the Holy Spirit calls us, he makes us want to come to Christ, doesn't he? He makes us want to come to Christ because we need to come to Christ. The Holy Spirit drags none of God's people against their will to come to Christ. He makes them all willing in the day of his power so that they willingly come to Christ because they need him. They love him. They believe on him. Now that's what the Lord did for Matthew. Well, now Matthew the publican is a changed man. And now he wants other people to know Christ too. So Matthew decided what he's going to do is he's going to have a dinner party at his house to honor the Lord Jesus. And he invited folks to come to his house to have this, be part of this dinner and to hear the Lord speak, so they get to know the Lord like he got to know the Lord. But you know, the only people that Matthew knew to invite to his house, the only people who would come to his house are his old cronies, other publicans and other sinners. Matthew invited publicans. Those people who are despised by both the Jews and the Romans. They were despised by all of society. That's who Matthew invited to come to his house for dinner. And he also invited sinners to come to his house for dinner. And that word sinner, it means someone who's devoted to sin. I mean, they don't just sin. They're devoted to it. They're especially sinful. They're preeminently wicked. That's the crowd Matthew ran in. So that's who he invited to come to his house and sit down and eat with the Savior. And he invited them to this dinner. Now, you know, when we go to a dinner together, we're sitting around the table together. We're breaking bread together. Yeah, I mean, you know, we're not just eating. We're not just warding off starvation, are we? No, we're fellowshipping together. We're talking to one another, enjoying one another's company. Publicans and sinners came to sit around the table with the Savior. And hear him talk, have fellowship with him. Now the Pharisees saw that, and they didn't like that guest list. Verse 11. And when the Pharisees saw it, they said unto his disciples, Why eateth your master with publicans and sinners? The Pharisees wondered, How can a man of God eat and have fellowship around the table with the worst of sinners? These publicans, the worst, these sinners who are devoted to sin. This man is supposed to be holy. How can he bear to rub elbows with these sinners, these open, vile sinners? How can he do that? Well, that's the question I want to answer this morning. Why does our Savior eat with sinners? Number one is this. Christ eats with publicans and sinners because that's who Christ came to save. You know, the whole Bible tells us this. Christ saves guilty, helpless sinners. Isaiah told us Christ is coming to loose the guilty prisoner from the prison house of sin. He's going to do it by taking their place. It's not going to be a jailbreak. It's not going to be something illegal. Christ is going to loose the guilty sinner from the prison house of sin by taking their place and suffering their sentence for them. The writer to the Hebrews told us that Christ came to do what all those animal sacrifices under the law could never do. Christ came to take away the sin of his people by his one sacrifice for sin forever. And then he sat down on the right hand of the Father because the work was finished. Salvation was complete. There's no more need for another sacrifice for sin. The angel who announced the birth of our Savior said, You call his name Jesus. That's the New Testament name for the Old Testament name, Joshua. You call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Not maybe, not he's going to try, not he's going to give it his best effort. He shall do it. And that's exactly what he did. Christ came to save sinners. And remember now, we're talking about real sinners. The most vile of sinners. People who are dedicated to sin. They're devoted to it. People who can't do anything but sin. Christ came to save those sinners from their sin and to make them the righteousness of God in him. He came to make them what they're not. He came to make them righteous. Christ came to save his people from their sin so they could never be condemned by any sin because Christ took all their sin away from them, put it away by his sacrifice for them. Christ came to save the guiltiest of sinners and to make them holy, unblameable, and unreprovable in God's sight. Now, since that's how God sees them, that's how they really are. And not someday. Not someday when you awake in glory. Right now, if Christ died for you, that's the way God the Father sees you. Holy, unblameable, and unreprovable. That's what Christ made his sinful people to be. Christ came to save the filthiest of sinners and to wash them white as snow. They are completely stained and defiled with sin. After they're washed in the blood of Christ, there's not a trace of sin left on them. Christ came to save the chief of sinners. He came to save those people that all of creation would agree these are the chief of sinners. And you know why God did it that way? So that all of creation will praise him in awe and wonder. How God could love sinners like this. How God can have mercy on sinners who are his natural born enemies. Only God could do something so marvelous. Only God would do something so wonderful. And you know, only Christ can save sinners. Christ came to save sinners, and he's the only one who can. He's the only one who will have anything to do with sinners. I mean real sinners. They're sitting around the table with him because the Pharisees wouldn't sit with them. But the Savior would. Now remember I said eating together, that involves fellowship, talking to one another, enjoying one another's company. Publicans and sinners were comfortable in the presence of the Lord Jesus. They weren't comfortable being around the self-righteous Pharisees, were they? No, they're too judgmental and they just couldn't be comfortable with the Pharisees. But they were comfortable in the presence of righteousness personified. The Pharisees weren't comfortable in the presence of Christ. I mean, they're just nervous. They're just two-footing it all the time in the presence of the Savior. But sinners were comfortable in the presence of the Savior. You know why? Because he came to save them. He came to save them. All right, number two, our Savior eats with publicans and sinners because they're the ones that need to be forgiven. You know, all those notorious sinners, they were comfortable enough to come to Matthew's house and stay there, sit down at the table, and eat with the Master. Now you think about that. All of their sin was against him. But he didn't make them uncomfortable. Now he never condoned their sin, did he? But he didn't make sinners uncomfortable to be around him, because he came to forgive their sin. You know, the Pharisees felt like they were not sinners. They didn't need to be forgiven. But they were so uncomfortable when they were in the presence of the Lord. But these sinners were comfortable. What's the difference? Christ came to forgive the sin of sinners. Look over at John chapter 9. John chapter 9. Verse 39. And Jesus said, "For judgment I'm come into this world, that they which see not might see. I came to those that are blind, that they might see. And they which see, those who think they see, might be made blind." Now some of the Pharisees, which were with him, heard these words, and said unto him, "Are we blind also?" They knew who he was talking about. They knew what he was saying. Jesus said unto them, "If you were blind, you would have no sin. But now you say, 'We see,' therefore your sin remaineth." What the Lord is saying here is this: if we confess, we're spiritually blind. I mean, I don't see how God could save me. I don't see how a sinner can be just with God. I'm blind. I can't see the light. I can't see Christ. I can't trust him. I'm blind. The Lord will give that person spiritual sight so that they see him. If we confess our sin, if we confess what we are, our sin, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sin. But if we say we don't have any sin, if I say I'm not that bad, Christ will never forgive me. Christ came to save sinners who know they're sinners. And here's an amazing thing, amazing truth of the gospel. Christ came to forgive the sin of his people. How did he do it? How did he do it? Well, it wasn't by ignoring their sin. It wasn't by pretending their sin didn't happen. It wasn't by saying, "You sin, but it's all right." You know, that's what we have to do. We forgive one another, right? Somebody did you wrong, but okay, you did wrong, but I forgive you. I won't bring it up again. That's not how God forgives sin. Christ forgave the sin of his people by being made sin for them, by taking their sin away from them and making it his, taking it into his own body upon the tree, and then putting that sin away by the sacrifice of himself. Holiness died for the sinner so that the sinner could be forgiven. The Creator died for the creature so that the creature's sin might be forgiven. When the Holy God forgives sin, he forgives sin because there's no sin left for him to be angry about anymore, because the blood of Christ took it away. Christ came to save sinners who need saving. He came to forgive sinners who need forgiveness. You see what the issue is? He didn't come to save the Pharisees who have no need of forgiveness. He didn't come to save the Pharisees who don't have any sin. Christ came to forgive the sin of sinners who need to be forgiven. What's the issue? Between those two classes of people, what's the issue? It's need. It's need. This thing of salvation and forgiveness, the issue is need. Publicans and sinners need Christ. I need Christ to save. I need Christ to wash me. I need Christ to make me righteous. I can't do it because my sin is so great. I need Christ to save me. I need him to forgive me. And Christ freely forgave all their sins. He forgives sinners who need forgiveness. So here's the question for you and me. The question for you and me is not, have we memorized the right doctrine? The question for you and me is not, are we morally straight enough? Here's the question. Do we need Christ? Do I need him to forgive me? Do I need him to take my sin away? Do I need Christ to make me righteous because I cannot do it by my own deeds of the law? If we need Christ the Savior that way, God will forgive our sin. You know how I know that's true? That's what the forgiver said. The forgiver said that. All right, number three. Christ eats with publicans and sinners because that's who he came to seek. You know, one day the Lord was walking through Jericho, a very wicked city. As he was leaving that city, he passed by a certain tree. And the Lord just so happened to look up in that tree. And sitting up there in that tree was a little short fella named Zacchaeus. He was also a publican, just like Matthew. And the Lord saw Zacchaeus sitting up in that tree, and he told Zacchaeus, "You come down. I'm going to your house for dinner today." Now, why did the Lord do that? Why did the Lord pass by that tree, look up there at Zacchaeus, and tell him, "Come down, I'm going to your house today"? Why did he do that? Well, look at Luke 19. Let's let the Savior tell us why he did it. Luke chapter 19. Luke 19, verse 9. And Jesus said unto him, "This day is salvation come to this house, for as much as he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost." That which was lost. Christ is the great shepherd. And you know what shepherds do? They seek and they find all their lost sheep. They never let one of them go. And here the Lord sits at dinner. Nobody would deny. Nobody would look at that scene, and nobody would deny that all the people in Matthew's house that day were notorious sinners. Yet here they are, sitting around the table with the Savior. The shepherd sure found all those lost sheep, didn't he? The shepherd found all those lost sheep and brought all of them to him to sit down and have fellowship with him. Now, I'm telling you, that's gracious. That's salvation by grace. See, these publicans and sinners, they were lost and they knew it. They would never claim that they're as righteous as the Pharisees. They would never claim that they've kept God's law. They would never claim that they're any account. They're sinners and they knew it. And you know who never sought one of them? The Pharisees. You who never one time invited them to come to a service? The Pharisees. The Pharisees never pointed them to Christ. The Pharisees never opened up one of those scrolls and said, "Here, let me show you Christ. There's somebody coming who's going to save sinners like you. Let me tell you about him." The Pharisees never did that. They were spending all their time trying to get away from sinners like that. You know, they said, "Don't touch me. Don't come near me. I'm holier than thou. If you touch me, I got to go through all this ceremonial washings, you know, we do." The only one who sought them ever was the only one who could do anything for him, the Lord Jesus. He was the only one who cared enough to do anything for them. It was the Savior. It was the Lord who they all sinned against. And he found them. He found them and he saved them. That's what God does for every lost sheep. I don't care how far you've wandered, how long you've wandered, how rebellious you've been, how dirty that you've gotten yourself, rolling around in the mud and being out in the wild. I don't care who you are. If you're one of God's sheep, the shepherd's going to seek you. And he's going to find you. He's going to put you on his shoulders. He can bring you all the way home. The Savior came to seek and to save that which was lost. Now the Father chose a people to save. They're God's sheep. But how'd they get lost? Well, they were born lost. They became lost in Adam. They fell when Adam fell, and when they were born, they were born with Adam's nature. They're a natural born sinner. And they live lost. They live lost in their own sin. They live lost in their own man-made religion. They were so dead in sin, they didn't even know they were lost. I mean, they're so lost, they didn't even know they were lost. But the Lord knew it. So the great shepherd of the sheep came seeking them, and he found them. He laid down his life as a sacrifice for those sheep so that those sheep would live. And he rose again. So he could go find all those lost sheep and bring them to himself. And he goes to those sheep through the preaching of the gospel. And he calls them by name. Not audibly, but through the preaching of the gospel. This is faith language. It's heart language. In your heart, you don't hear the preacher. The shepherd calls you. He calls you by name, just like he did Matthew, just like he did Zacchaeus, and you follow him. And you're going to follow him till he brings you all the way to glory. The Lord calls out his people by the preaching of the gospel, and he uses that same gospel to feed his sheep, to comfort his sheep, to teach his sheep, to lead his sheep, and to bring them all the way into his presence. God's elect are all born lost, but not one of them is going to die that way. They're born lost, but they're going to die found, because the Lord's going to seek and find every last one of them. It has been my earnest prayer this week that there's someone here this morning the Lord's seeking. Because this is that here's why that's my prayer. If the Lord's seeking you, he's going to find you. And he's going to bring you to himself. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. All right, number four. Christ eats with publicans and sinners because of his compassion for sinners. In verse 12, Matthew chapter 9, but when Jesus heard that, he said unto them, they that be whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. But go ye and learn what that meaneth. I will have mercy and not sacrifice. I'm going to have mercy, not your works of religion. For I'm not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Now our Lord Jesus Christ just named himself the great physician. The great physician of sin-sick souls. And he's come to heal those, all those who have need of healing. The only people who need a doctor are sick folk. Now, the Lord says he came to heal the sick. You know, he's telling us what sin really is. Sin is not something I did that was kind of wrong. Well, you know, I broke the rules. You know, call a foul on me. I was watching football yesterday, and they broke the rules, and they throw a flag, you know, throw a flag on me, but now, you know, then we'll get back to playing the game. I broke the rules. It's not that big a deal. I mean, I shouldn't have done it, but, you know, come on. That's not what sin is. Sin is an awful disease. It's a terminal disease that always kills. Always. Sin is a gross disease that rots us from the inside out. It breaks out big, ugly tumors all over us. Sin leaves us covered with wounds, open wounds and bruises and putrefying sores that haven't been closed up or modified with ointment, because there ain't no treatment we can find for it. If we could really see what we are because of our sin, we'd gag. I heard someone say one time, the Lord just gives us a glimpse of the filthiness and the defilement of our sin. Just a glimpse. Because if he showed us the whole picture, we'd go stark raving mad. We couldn't handle it. But Christ says he's come as the great physician. Jehovah Rapha, here he is in the flesh, the Lord that healeth thee. Christ takes his people and he heals all of their sin sickness. All of it. He does it by pouring in the sweet balm of Gilead. The wine and the oil of his precious blood that cleanses us, that heals us from all of our sin sicknesses. Now I'm telling you, to those who are sin sick, You can trust your soul to this physician. You can trust trust him. The great physician. You know, he only takes terminal cases. He only takes cases where all hope is lost. Matter of fact, he only takes cases where the patient's already dead. Not half dead, like in the parable. He only takes patients who are all the way dead. And he gives life. He gives life to his patients by suffering and dying in their place and giving them his life. He takes their death and he gives them his life. And this physician has a 100% cure rate. 100%. He always gives eternal life to his sin-sick patients. And unlike earthly doctors, you're never going to get a bill from him. He saves and he heals his people freely. And listen, he does it with compassion. It's not just clinical know-how. He does it with compassion. Christ came to show mercy to the miserable. He came to heal them, and he came to be merciful, to show mercy to the miserable. I've been around enough doctors and nurses to know this. The best ones have real compassion for a patient who's suffering. It's not just a science fair project, you know. Their symptoms are not just a science fair project. They have compassion. And their compassion makes all the difference in the world. Now, I'll give you an example. A few years ago, I was in the hospital, and I was suffering. Oh, my soul, I was suffering. It was so bad, and Jan was just right there with me all the time, and we would frequently pray. And one day, we were praying, and, oh, just, Lord, would you please give us something? Just, oh, any relief, just something. Just, Lord, something. Don't even know, but, oh, it's just, it seems like it's more we can bear. Well, would you give us something? And no sooner did I say amen than the door opened. And in walked a nurse named Annie. And Annie, she took a liking to me and Janet. We reminded her of her parents, is what I think. And she took a liking to us. And, oh, she had compassion. She turned, that one woman by herself, turned a bad situation just almost all the way around. It just made me feel so much better. Now, she had clinical skills. I mean, this woman, boy, she knew her stuff. But her compassion made her not miss a thing. I mean, she didn't miss a thing. There was one day I couldn't eat all day long because they were trying to fit me in for a surgery, you know. And I couldn't eat all day long. I mean, my mama started me out on a 4-hour feeding schedule. And I pretty much stayed on that for nearly 59 years, almost 60 years now. And I couldn't eat all day. Now, this was a struggle, you know. And it got to be 8 o'clock. And they said, Frank's too late. We can't do surgery today. We'll try again tomorrow. And Annie came in. And I said, well, they can't do surgery. Would it be possible for me to get something to eat? And she said, the kitchen's closed. But I'll get you something to eat. What do you want? She went down there and got them, fixed me a hamburger and fries and ice cream. Yeah, I mean, that food, I mean, it didn't do anything really to heal me, but oh, that compassion. I'll never forget her. She did everything a person could possibly do. But now she is just human. Nurse Annie could only do so much. Now you imagine the eternal, omnipotent God being your physician and taking compassion on you. Your symptoms are not a clinical study to him. He takes compassion on you and he heals you of every wound and bruise and putrefying sore that your sin has caused you. And he heals you in compassion. I think about that poor leper that came to our Lord and said, Lord, if you will, you can make me whole. And the great physician said, I will. Be thou clean. And he touched him. This fellow was full of leprosy. Even other lepers wouldn't touch this guy. And the Lord touched him. Oh, can you imagine what that hand of power and grace and compassion felt as he knelt and the Savior touched his face. Oh. If the Savior has compassion on you, he's going to heal you. So I come back to the question for you and me. Are you a sinner? The Lord came to save real, genuine sinners. The chief of sinners. Not those who know that's a good biblical catchphrase, but those people who really feel of themselves, I'm the worst sinner. Christ didn't come to save people who said, oh, well, of course I sin. I mean, everybody's a sinner. Of course I sin. But now, you know, I'm not that bad. I'm not a prostitute. I'm not a traitor to my country. I'm cheating people in my business. I mean, I'm not the worst sinner in the county. There are plenty of people worse than me. Yeah, I sin, but you know, there are a lot of people worse than me. That's not who the Lord came to save. The Lord didn't come to save some people who need some help. The Lord came to save people who are helpless, who can't do anything to save themselves. The Lord came to save sinners, people who are devoted to sin. They're so helpless, they can't do anything but sin. They're helpless, they can't pay any of their sin debt. They're helpless, they can't cleanse themselves of any of their sin. They're helpless and hopeless. Does that describe anybody here? If it does, I got good news for you. The Lord came to show mercy to helpless, hopeless, dead sinners. He'll do it with compassion. You never read of a time that a sinner came in contact with the Savior and he didn't have time for him. He had time for every one of them. He had forgiveness for every one of them. He had healing for everybody that had need of healing. The Lord has so much mercy and grace. He had enough mercy and grace for the many that came down and sat down with him at dinner. So the question is, are you lost? So that you need to be found. You can't find your way back. Are you lost? Do you need to be found? Is your sin so great you need Christ to save you? Do you? If you are, he will. He will. That's the good news of the gospel. And like I said earlier, I know that's so because that's what the forgiver himself said. Oh, God, give us grace to trust him. All right, let's bow together. Our Father, there are no words, no human words to express our thanksgiving for a Savior who would sit and eat with vile, notorious sinners such as we are. There's no words to thank you for your forgiveness of sin. There's no words to properly thank you for seeking and finding and saving lost sheep like we are. Father, how we thank you. Father, I pray you'd bless your word, that you'd bless it to the glory of your Son, that you'd cause each one of us here to see in your word the glory of Christ our Savior, the glory of the great shepherd of the sheep, the glory of the great physician. That you'd cause us to run to him, to in awe and wonder at who he is, run to him for salvation and forgiveness. Father, we ask this for our good, but we especially ask it for the glory of Christ our Savior. Would you get glory to your name in saving sinners like us? Father, it's in Christ's name. For his sake we pray. Amen. All right, Sean.